We want to praise you today for who you are in our lives, as Anna prayed as well. Lord, we know that you are here with us. And Lord, that we desire to glorify you by surrendering all to you. Lord, thank you that you're the one who gives us hope. You're the one who gives us confidence. Father, thank you that you give us strength when we feel weak. I thank you, Lord, for how you stir in our hearts and get our attention back onto you. So, Lord, I pray that our full attention be onto you this morning. And, Father, even after this morning, every day, Lord, I pray that our eyes of our heart would actually turn to you more and more all the time. Lord, that we would not go by our feelings. Lord, that we would not go by what's happening. But, Lord, we would stand on the Word of God. We would stand on your Word. Like, Lord, I pray that we would trust your Word more and depend on it more than what we do now. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Father, we pray that you would give us teachable hearts. Father, let us not become so proud that thinking that we could do this on our own. But, Lord, forgive us. Help us to rely on you more. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Since it's Kids Sunday, Youth Sunday, I thought it'd be pretty cool to have some of the younger people in our church to read some scripture. So this morning, I want to talk on humility. And so I'm going to have Nassif read Proverbs 13:10. So if you want to stand up, Nassif, and just read out loud. So whenever you're ready.
Pride flees to conflict. Those who take offense are wise. Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise.
So those who take pride is conflict, right? Pride's when you're proudful, you don't want to listen to God. Or you don't, if you're proud, you don't want to listen to anybody else.
Yeah.
But blessed is those who, what? Desire to be teachable. When we want to be teachable, shows that we're not proud. Right? So why does God want us to grow in humility? To humble? To become more like him? So he could use us? What else? What does God want us to be, to walk in humility? Yeah? So their dependence on him? So he could raise us up? Yeah? He gets the glory? Because in Proverbs, it talks about lots, about pride. And pride is always the fall of a person. When you walk around in pride, eventually you're going to fall. And that's when you hit rock bottom. I think sometimes God allows our pride to get in our way so that we hit rock bottom. And that we have to depend on him. Do you ever notice that? Right? I think that's where God wants us. He wants us to hit rock bottom, even though he's there the whole time. But he wants us to hit rock bottom at times so that we can't run anywhere else but to him. In his mercy and his grace, he allows us to hit rock bottom. So, as Nassif read, to be teachable, right? And when we walk in humility, do we confess our sin quicker? Right? When we're walking in being proud, we don't want to confess our sin. We just, whatever. And then hardness and bitterness and resentment starts to build. Humility is the opposite of a sense of entitlement. Isn't that true? Humility is the opposite of the sense of entitlement. We are owed. Do you hear this? You hear this in our society today. You are owed, as if you deserve it. And everyone says these things. Everyone else has it. Everyone else is doing it. They all have it. They have the newest, best video games, the new phones. They have the nicest clothes. If you really loved me, you would do this. Right? Don't we hear that? Like in marriages or relationships. If you really loved me, you would get this for me. Isn't that a sense of entitlement? It's manipulation. It's pride. Right? You know, they're not being fair. Right? They're not being fair. Because this society, and for the youth, they're being taught that they're entitled. They are owed everything. They don't have to work for anything. Everything is supposed to be handed out. You look at the pandemic. This is not a pandemic. This thing, people are now thinking that they're owed an income, and they don't want to work again. See the mentality of how people don't want to work because it's getting handed out for free? It's not free. Those who work pay for it. So nothing is free. Those who work pay for those who don't want to work. That's not free. Right? So the sense of entitlement is a dangerous cancer. When we feel like we're entitled, we think we are owed everything. And it's a cancer because it will grow and we become proud. So Annalia is going to read Psalm 10, verse 4. Psalm 10, 4. Isn't that true? Can you read that again? You did so good.
In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there's no room for God.
Amen. Isn't that true? When we get proud, we don't really seek God. We become arrogant, self-centered. Thinking accurately about ourselves comes only from being stunned at the grace of God. When God owed us nothing, what's happening?
There's a robot in here.
Oh, somebody's watching me online. Won't see. So when we think accurately about ourselves, we can be stunned by the grace of God. When God owed you nothing, but he offered you, what did God offer you? Eternal life? Freedom? What else did God offer you? Spiritual blessings? How about reconciliation? He reconciled us back to the Father. We weren't even owed that. It was a free gift from God. He offers us mercy that we're not even owed that. He gives us hope. He gives us purpose in life and eternity with him. None of those things are owed to us. It's a free gift. It's God's grace. He sought us out. He changed our hearts. Right now, he's seeking everyone in this world. And think of the arrogance that people think. I'm too good for God. He doesn't know the best. And it's sad. God didn't owe us anything. But in his mercy, in his grace, he came to reconcile us back to the Father. That's why it's a free gift. And that shows how a loving and caring father he is. So I just want to add in the following. It says, humility is not self-hatred. Right? This is what humility is not. Because sometimes we get confused. Oh, I'm humble. You know, there's self, there's religious pride. And there's false humility that people have around. You know how I talked about last week about false humility. Yeah. Right? We give the Christian lingo. It's saying that, you know, like, oh, I'll just pray for you, but you never do. You give the right answers, but you never do it. That's not honoring God. So humility is not self-hatred or self or lack of self-confidence. God gives you the confidence. God gives you the ability. Neither does when you walk in humility, you do not become a proverbial doormat. To allow others to walk all over you. That's not walking in humility. Nor does a humble person look down on themselves or their abilities. Right? Don't look down on yourself. Lord, help me to see how you see me through the eyes of Christ. Help me to see through your word how you see me. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who gives me the abilities to do what you called me to do. And whatever abilities those God has given you, we walk in those abilities, trusting and relying on him. Humility simply understands that God is a sovereign, is sovereign, and you ain't, that you're not. Right? Humility simply understands that God is sovereign, and you're not. God is the one sovereign. And so when we walk in humility, we know where our strength comes from, our hope comes from, our life comes from, our purpose comes from. It doesn't come from within. It comes from Christ. It comes from Jesus. That's the trouble with New Age. It turns everybody to be proud and look at yourself. That's kind of depressing. Because nothing, the Bible says nothing good comes from you, but it only comes from God. Only Jesus gives you the purpose. So I'm going to have Zane read Luke chapter 5. Okay.
One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there.
Yeah.
When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time the nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking.
Thank you. Isn't that a... Let's read that again. I won't get you to read it again. You do have a good voice. So one day as Jesus was standing by the lake... You have to picture this. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So he got in Simon's boat, and they put it out from shore so the people could hear Jesus speak. And then he asked Simon to put his boat further in the water, And we know that he was fishing all night and didn't catch anything. Right? He says, put out in deep water and let down your nets for a catch. In verse 5, listen to this. Simon Peter answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Has the Lord asked you to push out, maybe step out in faith? And he's asked you to do something that you've been trying on your own to do and didn't catch anything. Maybe he didn't catch, I don't know, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how do you want to use me? Lord, what area of my life is hindering my walk with you? And we're trying to do it on our own. Here is Simon. He listens to the Lord, but he also says, Lord, I've been fishing all night. Because that's when they went fishing. They go fishing at night. Because that's the best time to catch fish. That's when they're most active. So he pushes out, and he says, you know what? I've been fishing all night, but we didn't catch a thing. And think about it. He's a fisherman by trade. And when Jesus, he's thinking, well, Jesus is just a son of a carpenter. He never fished a day in his life. And yet he's telling me to push my boat out. And I've been fishing pretty much all my life. I'm working for my father and we have a servant working for us. I've been fishing all my life. How can you tell me to push the boat out and put down my nets? Can you maybe think that's what maybe was going through his mind? Someone who has no idea of what my trade is, yet he's telling me to do this. So he has that little thing, but he's kind of questioning Jesus. I think sometimes we question Jesus when he's asked us to step out, get out of our comfort zone. Simon answered, Master, because we worked all night and caught nothing. But he said, there's a but in here. But because you have said so, I will let down the nets. Even though he had this little, not argument, but maybe his opinion about, Lord, you don't know, we've been fishing all night. But since you said so, He's trusting the Lord. Even though it does not make sense, even though it goes contrary to what his thoughts are and his attitude. See, there's this attitude part. He didn't have an attitude. Lord, I'm not going to listen to you. Pride will say, you don't have to listen. Pride says, oh, you know better. Don't listen to that person. You don't need to be teachable. Here's Simon. Simon's like, Lord, even though it goes contrary to what I've been taught, what I understand, beyond my, you know, whatever my thinking is, but Lord, I'm going to listen to you because you said so. What has the Lord been speaking to us about? Even though it may not make sense. And there's a blessing. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. That's a miracle in itself. Yet, there's a blessing when we listen to God. Humility is walking in obedience to God. Even though it does not make sense at the time, there's a blessing when we walk in obedience out of humility to what God's word is saying, what he says to us. Because here's this large number of fish overflowing. Like, where were these fish all night? God brought them to to the nets. To show that he is the creator of all. To show that he's in charge of all. And you look at the blessing of how, I think of all these other people, they're crying out for help. All these other fishermen go out there because their nets are breaking, overflowing. But then Peter saw this and he fell to his knees. There's a physical thing that he's seen. He's seen how walking in obedience to God, to Jesus, by saying, okay, Lord, I'll lower my nets. Because these nets have got to be super heavy. You think of how thick these nets are, and yet he threw the heavy net out there and caught fish. Those things would be super heavy. But he did it. So the Lord opened his eyes to see who he was, that he gives abundance to those who obey him, who will trust him, who depend on him. But there was also a spiritual awakening in Peter that day. He fell down on his knees. You know what Peter said? Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He recognized who Christ was. Only God could do that. And that was his beginning of his walk, the beginning of his journey. And think how many times that Peter blew it. Think how many times we blow it. Think of the grace that God shows us when we desire to humble ourselves, to say, Lord, forgive me of my pride, forgive me of my self-centeredness, forgive me for thinking that I'm owed this. Thank you, Lord, that I am knowing that you're sovereign and that I'm not. Pride sets itself up to think that you're like a god, a little g. God, it doesn't matter. Only the one true God matters, and that's Jesus. As we humble ourselves, he lifts us up. As we trust him and obey him, there's a blessing that comes from that. Sometimes we allow our mind to think, how does this really practically... Lord's telling me to do something. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't practically make sense. To throw a wet net back in the lake, in the sea to catch more fish in daytime? That doesn't make sense. What's the Lord speaking to you about? What's he speaking to me about? When I try to overanalyze how he's speaking to me by his word. Sometimes we overanalyze the simplicity of what Jesus is saying. Think, there is no... When he told Simon Peter, push the boat out. That's pretty straightforward. And then... And he says, you know, throw your net overboard. That's pretty straightforward. There's no air of, are you really saying, tell me to throw over your net? Do you really want me to do it right now? Do you want me to do it in 10 minutes, 15? Do you want me to do it tomorrow? When do you want me to throw my net? He says, throw your net over. And look what happened. Sometimes we overanalyze it. Sometimes we make the Word of God so complicated that we have to run through all, we think we got to run through all these hoops and loops and jumps. We got to do these backspins and everything else in order to get to what God wants to do. But what does he say? Be like a child. Walk in simple faith. Don't overcomplicate my Word. When the Lord says, step out, step out. When God says, trust me, trust him. When he says, depend on me, depend on me. When he says, you know what, Kyle, there's some sin in your life you need to deal with, some pride. I say, well, Lord, I don't want to deal with that right now. I need to deal with it right now. Right? It's not my timing, it's God's timing. God knows the time when we need to deal with stuff. And that's why the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And he points out things in our lives that need to be dealt with. Lord, because you said so, that's why I'm going to do it. Lord, I'm going to thank you for pointing that out. But Lord, I'm going to listen to you because you said so. I think that's a good enough answer. Because who is the Lord? Who is the creator of the universe? Who gives you life? Who gives you breath? Sometimes it's so simple to follow Christ. And forgive us, Lord, for complicating things. God's word is so simple, but that doesn't mean it always is easy.
That's right.
It's simple, but it's not always easy to follow through. Because we don't want our pride to get in the way. Because we get our pride in the way, I should say. Lord, I feel like I'm owed this. Lord, I think I'm owed this living. I'm owed this or that. And you can start comparing yourself to others. But Lord, forgive me for thinking that I'm owed anything. Humble obedience to what God has called us to may be as simple as making a phone call, extending an invitation, or walking across the street. That's pretty simple stuff. Maybe it carries a greater challenge, like extending forgiveness to someone who has hurt you. I think that's the tough one at times. Sometimes it takes a while. I learned that when you could forgive somebody, you could pray a blessing over them. When you have bitterness, resentment towards somebody, you can't pray a blessing over them. Yeah, I could say I go through the religious loops and hoops, you know, I need to forgive him, and okay, I could do that. But when you forgive him, Lord, help me to totally, help me, Lord, not to have this resentment towards that person for what they did. And Lord, I pray a blessing over this person. Lord, help me not to be bitter towards this person for maybe how they wronged me. But Lord, I pray a blessing over them. And the trust will come in later on. There's a difference between trust and forgiveness. When you forgive somebody, you don't automatically trust them fully again, because that's dumb. Trust is built on relationship. Trust is built on how the person, their character. But forgiving is what God says. We need to forgive them. That's pretty simple. But Lord, help me to forgive them and to pray a blessing over them. Or move forward. Maybe the Lord's impressing you to move in the mission field. Or trust Jesus by tithing. When the Holy Spirit impresses on your heart or reveals through the word or to do something, it seems impractical. Right? It might seem impractical to you, but it's not. Or maybe inconvenient. Lord, I don't want to do that right now. But remember who's asking you to do it. Remember, obedience brings abundant reward. I think that's the thing we maybe catch up on. Lord, it doesn't seem, it seems impractical to do this, Lord. Lord, it's not convenient because it's not your timing. See, when we say it's not, it seems impractical, or Lord, it's not convenient at this time. Would you say that's pride? It's pride. Because you're trying to call the shots. Isn't that amazing how God reveals when we say, Lord, this seems impractical. Maybe, Lord, this is inconvenient right now. But you're trying to call the shots. You're not allowing God to be the Lord of all in your life. And I know God will work that out in our lives. As we remember to stepping out in faith in obedience to the Word of God, so we step out in faith by reading the Word of God and applying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. And His Word becomes our light that shines in front of us to lead us on the journey where He wants us to go. Even though it may not make sense, a lot of times what God says doesn't make sense in our minds. So we'll read Exodus 13. Exodus 13. Verse 17. This is a great illustration of when God has a plan. And it might not, we think, this doesn't make sense. So Exodus 13, verse 17 to 18 says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through Philistine country, though it was shorter. Right? So when God had a plan, and He didn't want to take them through the shorter way, though there was a shorter way. So when the Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert, taking the long way, towards the Red Sea. Isn't it amazing how we think, God, why don't you take me through the shorter way, which makes more sense? Have you ever tried to take a shortcut? Oh, yeah. I try to take shortcuts, and they always come in a long cut. Yeah, I stopped taking shortcuts. I say, because it might seem more practical, but it's not. But isn't it amazing how God did not lead them through the shorter way, but He took them through the longer way? He knew best. He knew what would happen if they went the shorter way. Perhaps we think that we should be going through a shorter way, but God's taken us on this long journey to help me to flush some stuff out in our lives and to reveal things in our lives where we're not trusting Him or not depending on Him. True humility acknowledges God's wisdom, even though when it doesn't make sense and we do not understand. Proverbs 3:5, I'll finish with this. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Even though it doesn't make sense to us, even though we have this understanding, Say, Lord, because you said so, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to walk in obedience to your word. I'm going to walk in humility because of who you are. Amen. It's not always Satan doing stuff in our lives. God is at work in our lives. It is God that is revealing and flushing stuff out in our lives. He wants us to become more like Christ. He wants us to walk in humility, put down our plans and our purpose and our hopes, because ultimately we live for Him. And He gives us new plans and hopes and purpose to live a life that is trusting and abiding in Him, excited every morning because we are excited to see what He's going to do through us. Zane and I did this devotion, how God created the universe, how God spoke everything into existence, how powerful God is, but yet, in His mercy, He's using us. He wants us to be a part of it. Isn't that a great God? He doesn't need us, but He chooses to reveal Himself through this process to see His hand at work. And it's a process how He's changing our lives, to trust Him, to walk in humility, and to put off pride. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that how you speak to us day in and day out. And I pray, Father, that if there's areas in our lives where we are not walking in humility, in true humility, Father, I pray that you would reveal that. Forgive us at times when we walk in pride and arrogance. Forgive us, Father, that we think we know better than you. But Lord, help us to trust you and abide in you more and more all the time. We thank you, Lord, that in you we have strength to face every day. In you that we have hope. And in you that we have confidence to face whatever challenges may come in our lives. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the solid rock in our lives. Thank you that we could stand in such hope because we know that you don't change. That you never break down, never go back on a promise. Thank you, Lord, that we could have confidence in you. And Lord, as we, I just pray for the offering today, Lord, we thank you for how you provide so much for us. And thank you, Lord, that you entrust us what you have given us. So, Lord, as we give back with a grateful heart, Lord, we want to honor you. We want to praise you. And we want you to be first in our lives. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll pray.